Think about your biggest breakthrough at work last year. I mean, really picture it for a second.
Okay, yeah.
Now, be honest with yourself. Did that breakthrough happen because your CEO sent out like a massive company-wide memo detailing some new strategic initiative?
Oh, almost certainly not.
Right. Or did it happen because you were, hashing out a really frustrating problem with a coworker, maybe over coffee or one of those rapid-fire digital chats, just sort of building on each other's ideas until something finally clicked?
Yeah, that's usually where the magic happens.
Exactly. And if you are like most people navigating the modern workplace, it is almost certainly that latter scenario. Which brings us to what we are looking at today.
And it is quite a stack of documents.
It really is. We have this whole stack on the table, press releases, an overview deck, executive bios, and they're all dated April 21, 2026.
Right.
And basically, these documents make the argument that your boss, or well, at least the traditional concept of a top-down boss, is becoming obsolete.
Completely obsolete, according to them.
Yeah. So they detail a newly announced strategic joint venture between two organizations, Peer Innovation and Inception Stratos.
Two very different companies, we should note.
Very different. But their stated mission is to take that casual, incredibly productive coffee chat dynamic you have with your peers and essentially engineer it into the very infrastructure of global
It
corporations.
is a massive undertaking.
Huge. They firmly believe that your best work happens with the person sitting next to you, not the person sitting above you. So if you've ever felt totally bogged down by corporate bureaucracy or realized your best ideas come from just bouncing thoughts off a coworker rather than following top-down orders, this deep dive is going to explain the science and the business model behind exactly why that happens.
It really validates that feeling.
Okay, let's unpack this
Yeah.
because this is wild.
We really need to look closely at the architectural blueprint they're proposing here. Because, a casual read of these press releases might lead you to believe this is just another corporate partnership offering standard team-building seminars.
Right, like trust falls in the woods or whatever.
Exactly. But it is decidedly not that. What these documents outline is a highly systematic attempt to completely redesign the performance engine of modern organizations.
The performance engine. I like that phrase.
Yeah, they are attempting to move the fundamental mechanism of professional output away from authority-based structures and transition it entirely into an interaction-based model.
And the narrative through line in their initial overview deck is, I mean, it's surprisingly aggressive for a corporate announcement. They do not couch their language at all.
No, they don't pull any punches.
There is this specific slide that features a stark visual rejection of the traditional organizational triangle.
Yeah.
Just a massive red slash right through the corporate pyramid.
Oh, yeah.
And the text next to it simply reads, "Top-down leadership alone is dead."
It is a really provocative opening salvo. But to be fair, they do follow it up with a rigorous diagnosis of why that structural death is occurring.
Right, they back it up.
They do. The joint venture defines the legacy model, that classic hierarchy where a CEO passes directives down to a layer of executives who filter it to managers who eventually hand it to the employees doing the actual work. They define that as inherently siloed, slow, and limited.
It makes me think of, well, you remember playing the game of telephone as a kid, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
You sit in a circle, one person whispers a message, and it gets passed around. And by the time the message from the CEO reaches the employees at the bottom of the chain, it is completely distorted.
And usually entirely unrecognizable.
Right. And on top of being distorted, it's too late to actually be useful. The market has already shifted.
Exactly.
The peer model they're advocating for, by contrast, it's more like a real-time group chat.
Yes, that's a great way to look at it.
Everyone has the context instantly. You don't have to wait for the message to trickle down the chain of command. You just adapt and execute.
And that distributed processing model is what they term peer advantage. They explicitly define it in the deck as fast, adaptive, and scalable.
Scalable being the key word there.
For sure. But what's fascinating here is how they're completely redefining the metrics of performance. Historically, corporate performance has always been a measure of extraction.
What do you mean by extraction?
Well, think about it. A manager demands a specific output, and the employee delivers it under the threat of consequence. You do the work, or you get fired. That's extraction.
Right. It's totally transactional.
Yes. But this new framework argues that in a hyper-complex, rapidly shifting market, you simply cannot extract high-level performance like that anymore. It has to be generated by interaction.
So it's driven by the peers.
Exactly. It's driven by how peers think together, how they challenge each other's assumptions, how they support one another through friction, and how they organically model high standards on a daily basis, especially when they're trying to adapt to new technology or sudden changes.
But wait, hold on. Let me just play devil's advocate for a second.
Go for it.
Having established that peer connection is the answer, we have to transition to why these two specific companies had to team up. Because knowing the answer is one thing, but scaling it is a totally different
A
challenge.
massively different challenge.
Right. And horizontal trust doesn't automatically equal productivity, does it? I mean, a group of peers can trust each other implicitly, have phenomenal interactions, and still just end up reinforcing each other's bad habits.
Oh, absolutely. That happens all the time.
So if we remove the top-down directives and just rely on peers, how do we prevent this peer advantage thing from just devolving into like comfortable groupthink where a team just validates their own mediocre ideas?
That is the exact vulnerability of unstructured peer groups,
Yeah.
and it's exactly why the methodology side of this joint venture is so critical.
Okay, so let's dig into that methodology side. Peer innovation.
Right. The sources highlight some really important context from Leo Bottary, who is the founder of Peer Innovation. He points out a macro trend that we're all feeling. Institutional trust is in massive decline.
Oh, big time.
We are seeing a historic collapse in vertical trust. People simply do not believe the top-down narratives coming from governments, the media, or even their own C-suites.
Nope. They just tune it out.
Consequently, they are looking horizontally to one another to figure out what is actually real and what actually matters.
Yeah, you ask your buddy at the next desk what the new memo actually means.
Exactly. But to your point about groupthink, looking horizontally isn't enough. You need a framework for how to look.
Right.
Bottary isn't advocating for a leaderless free-for-all. The standard of the peer innovation methodology requires injecting structured accountability into those horizontal relationships. So peers aren't just blindly agreeing with each other, they are actively demanding excellence from each other.
And the naming convention of peer innovation itself is actually pretty instructive here. The text breaks it down directly. It's peer, which they strictly define as people of equal standing plus innovation, which they define as creativity realized.
Creativity realizes such a crucial distinction.
It really is. I mean, an individual can have a creative epiphany while walking the dog, right?
Right.
But actually realizing that creativity, turning it into a shipped product or a new workflow at a massive company, that requires a highly synchronized network.
Yes.
And the psychological pedigree behind this specific network methodology is deep. If you look at Leo Bottary's background in these executive bios, he is an award-winning author, a CEO World columnist, an instructor at
He's
Rutgers.
been around the block.
Definitely. But the credential that really jumps off the page to me is that he has delivered over 900 programs worldwide. He has spent decades specifically helping CEOs maximize the effectiveness of their peer advisory groups.
And we really need to look at the underlying mechanics of those CEO advisory groups to understand what is being transplanted here into the everyday workforce.
Yeah, break that down for me. Why do chief executives who already have, boards of directors and expensive consulting firms on retainer, why do they participate in these confidential peer forums?
It is because the CEO position is profoundly isolating. It is an environment entirely defined by operational authority.
Right. Everyone you talk to either works for you or invests in you.
Exactly. But when you put eight CEOs from non-competing industries in a room together, you completely remove the threat of consequence.
Oh, interesting.
No one in that room can fire anyone else. No one is angling for a promotion. It creates this highly specific zone of psychological safety where a leader can admit profound failure, express deep uncertainty, and receive completely unvarnished pushback from someone who truly understands the weight of the role.
That makes a lot of sense.
Bottary's expertise lies in facilitating that raw, high-stakes mirroring. And this joint venture is basically an attempt to democratize that exclusive boardroom-level dynamic and install it inside everyday departmental teams.
Okay, I see the value there. But here's where it gets really interesting, and frankly, where I have to throw a little bit of a flag on the play.
Uh-oh. Let's hear it.
You can't just mandate vulnerability. You can't just sprinkle a psychological methodology over a Fortune 500 company, tell the marketing team in London to act like a CEO forum, and expect it to just work.
You definitely cannot.
Which brings us to the second half of the brain in this venture, Inception Stratos. This is the infrastructure side.
Right, the technology and scaling side.
Yeah. Looking at their leadership profiles, Nico Lawrence is the founder and CEO, and his background is deeply rooted in venture strategy, making growth stage companies investor-ready, brand strategy, and international go-to-market expansion.
And then partnering with him is Daryl Woodhouse, who is the senior partner at Inception Stratos. The bios describe him as a scale-up specialist.
Scale-up specialist.
Yeah, and the sources note his specific focus is on exit success, actionable growth strategy, and notably preventing burnout and reducing founder dependency.
I want to pull the thread on that founder dependency concept for a second because I think it perfectly illustrates the problem that you're solving here.
Tell it.
If you have ever been inside a rapidly growing startup, you know that the founder is almost always the ultimate bottleneck. Every product feature, every piece of marketing copy, every hiring decision has to cross their desk because they hold all the institutional knowledge in their head.
Yeah, they become a single point of failure.
Exactly. Woodhouse's entire career seems built around breaking that specific bottleneck architecting systems that allow the company to operate and grow without constantly requiring the founder's explicit input for every little thing.
And that is the core utility of Inception Stratos in this partnership. They specialize in taking highly potent but localized intellectual property like Botterie's pure innovation methodology and translating it into a scalable commercial architecture.
Okay, so that's where the Venn diagram comes in.
Yes. The overview deck visualizes the symbiosis with this striking Venn diagram. On one side, you have a red circle labeled people or peers, so that's the psychological and human element from pure innovation. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, you have a gold circle labeled simply AI, representing the technological infrastructure from Inception Stratos. And where those two circles overlap in the center, the resulting judgment is labeled performance at scale.
Okay, but, and I really need you to ground this for me, aren't human vulnerability and enterprise AI fundamentally opposed concepts?
It sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it?
It really does. We just spent 10 minutes establishing that the core magic of peer innovation is deep, vulnerable, CEO-level human trust. It requires looking a colleague in the eye, admitting you don't know the answer, and asking for help.
Yeah.
But Inception Stratos is bringing artificial intelligence and algorithmic growth engines to the table. How does an algorithm actually build trust among humans without making it feel entirely synthetic? I mean, my brain instantly goes to this dystopian scenario where a corporate chatbot sends me a Slack notification saying, human interaction required. Please trust your colleague in engineering today.
Yeah, nobody wants that. And frankly, it is the most critical point of friction in their entire business model. If they cannot answer that, the venture will fail.
So how do they answer it?
The press release addresses this directly through a quote from Nico Lawrence. He argues that humans already inherently know how to collaborate. It is our primary evolutionary advantage.
Fair point.
The AI is not there to mandate trust or dictate the conversation. He says, and I'm quoting here, our role is to scale that dynamic, using AI to reinforce trust, alignment, and high-quality peer interaction.
So it's not writing a script for you to say to your coworker?
No, not at all. If we look at the actual mechanism of how the enterprise AI functions in this context, it operates more like an invisible scaffolding. It maps the hidden organizational network.
Give me an example of what that mapping actually looks like in practice, because I'm still trying to wrap my head around it.
Sure. Think about a massive company with 10,000 people. Your biggest barrier to peer advantage isn't a lack of desire to collaborate. It's just a lack of visibility.
You just don't know who to talk to.
Exactly. You might be struggling with a highly specific supply chain integration problem in the London office, completely unaware that someone in the Singapore office solved that exact problem 3 weeks ago.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
The AI analyzes project overlaps, communication frequencies, and skill gap data to identify those blind spots. It removes the friction of discovery. It doesn't tell you how to trust the person in Singapore. It simply connects the nodes, provides the shared context, and allows Botterie's human methodology to take over from there.
Ah, okay. So the AI plays matchmaker. It provides the contextual briefing documents, but the humans still have to actually have the hard conversations.
Exactly. The technology clears the brush, but the employees still have to walk the path.
That makes so much more sense. And that leads us directly to the actual tangible product this joint venture is selling. Because this fusion of human methodology and AI infrastructure results in something very specific.
And the source materials are incredibly definitive about this.
Yes, there is a bold, capitalized tagline in the press release that defines the product strictly by what it is not.
Right. The exact phrasing is not consulting, not training, a system.
The structural difference between those three concepts is everything here. Let's just strip away the corporate jargon for a second to really clarify this for the listener.
Good idea.
Think about trying to change your personal health habits. Training is an event. It's like buying a diet book or attending a weekend wellness seminar on how to eat healthy.
Right. You get super motivated for a minute.
Yeah. You get a rush of inspiration. You buy a bunch of kale on Sunday. But by Thursday, you are right back to eating fast food because your underlying environment hasn't actually changed.
Yeah, we've all been there.
And consulting. Consulting is like outsourcing the execution. It's hiring a personal chef to cook perfectly macro-balanced meals for you for a week.
Which is great while it lasts.
Right. It guarantees results for exactly as long as you pay the chef. But the day the chef leaves, you still don't know how to cook, and all that progress just evaporates.
And so a system.
A system is redesigning the actual architecture of your kitchen. It is taking the junk food out of the house entirely, placing the healthy snacks at eye level on the counter, and, you know, automating your grocery delivery so that fresh produce just arrives every Sunday without you even thinking about it.
It makes the good choice the easy choice.
Exactly. A system alters the environment so that the desired behavior, in this corporate case, high friction, high reward, peer collaboration, becomes the automatic default path of least resistance.
That is the exact architectural shift they are attempting within the corporate environment. And the documents do not just leave system as some abstract buzzword. They outline a twofold execution strategy.
Okay, what are the two parts?
The first part is building and deploying the AI-powered tech platform we just discussed. So that maps the networks and removes the friction. But the second part is crucial for actual adoption. They're expanding a global network of what they call PureNovation certified facilitators.
Certified facilitators. So there are real people involved.
Yes. This ensures there is a deeply trained human element on the ground, guiding teams through the psychological friction of the methodology while the software handles all the logistics.
Okay, so if I'm a chief operating officer and I'm looking to redesign my corporate kitchen, so to speak, how is this system actually structured? The overview deck breaks the architecture down into four interconnected pillars.
It does.
Let's walk through those because I want to understand how they actually lock together to solve real-world problems.
Sure. The foundation, the first pillar, is the proven method.
Okay.
This is the assurance that the psychological framework isn't just some experiment. Bottery has decades of research-backed data proving that if you put peers in a specific environment with specific rules of engagement, they will reliably elevate each other's performance.
Right, that's the CEO forum magic.
Exactly. Then the second pillar is the scalable platform, which is the AI infrastructure and growth architecture from Inception Stratos.
So embedding it everywhere.
Right. This solves the fundamental problem of the consulting model. Instead of Bottery flying out to one office and helping one single executive team, the platform allows the methodology to be embedded simultaneously across the marketing, engineering, and sales departments all at once.
But what about the geography problem? I mean, yeah. A CEO forum works because you lock a handful of people in a secluded boardroom for 2 days.
True.
How does a framework built on deep human vulnerability survive when, say, half your engineering team is working asynchronously from 3 different continents?
Well, that is precisely what the third pillar is designed to address, global reach.
Yeah.
The combination of the AI platform and that distributed network of certified facilitators means the system is not reliant on physical proximity.
Okay.
The technology creates the connective tissue for remote teams everywhere, surfacing the necessary context and aligning their goals. Meanwhile, the local facilitators ensure the human methodology is applied consistently, regardless of whether the team is operating in person, fully remote, or in a hybrid model.
That makes sense. But that brings us to the final aspect of the system, which is arguably the only one the financial buyers at these huge corporations actually care about.
The bottom line.
Yeah. Businesses do not spend millions of dollars on joint ventures just to improve the vibes of a remote workforce. They want a return on investment.
Exactly. Which brings us to the fourth pillar, measurable impact. Behavioral change is notoriously difficult to quantify. I mean, how do you measure trust on a spreadsheet?
You really can't.
Right. But the Inception Stratos infrastructure is designed to turn that abstract influence into trackable data by monitoring things like the frequency of cross-departmental collaboration, the speed of project execution after peer interventions, and the reduction in executive bottlenecks.
So you can actually see the before and after.
Yes. The system aims to prove that interaction-based performance directly impacts the bottom line. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the deck states it plainly. Organizations that effectively harness this peer dynamic will fundamentally outperform those that do not.
So it's not just a nice to have.
No, it is framed not as a cultural luxury, but as a stark competitive imperative.
Mm.
Organizations that remain reliant on the slow, siloed hierarchy are just going to get left behind.
Wow. We are essentially witnessing the evolution of an entire business model here. PeerInnovation is mutating from a high-impact but physically limited advisory firm into this highly scalable, globally deployed platform capable of altering the daily behavior of millions of workers.
A massive leap.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? We have waded through all these bold declarations about the death of top-down leadership, the nuances of psychological safety, and using AI to map human trust.
It's a lot of theory.
It is a lot. But the ultimate takeaway here fundamentally shifts how you should view your own career trajectory.
Absolutely.
If this joint venture is accurate, and frankly, the combined track record of Baudry, Lawrence, and Woodhouse suggests they see a very real gap in the market, the true performance engine in your professional life is no longer the manager sitting above you on the org chart.
It is just not.
The key to your adaptability, your speed of execution, and your ultimate value in a company lies in the peers sitting right next to you. It is entirely about how you interact with them, how you allow them to push back on your ideas, and how you leverage that collective, distributed intelligence to bypass the bureaucracy.
And this raises an important question, perhaps the most critical one of all, regarding the future of work.
What's that?
When we look at that central Venn diagram we talked about, the fusion of people and AI, we have to acknowledge the trajectory of the technology itself.
Right.
Artificial intelligence is inevitably going to consume the vast majority of our rote, technical, and predictable tasks. The mundane processing will be entirely automated.
It's already happening.
Exactly. So as that technical baseline is handed over to algorithms, our uniquely human capacity to interact with, empathetically challenge, and strategically elevate our peers is rapidly becoming the ultimate unautomatable professional advantage. If AI is doing all the processing, your ability to seamlessly connect with the human network around you might be the only true performance differentiator you have left.
That is an incredibly clarifying thought to leave on. As the algorithms get smarter, the human group chat might just become the most valuable professional asset you possess.
I think it already is.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the PeerInnovation and Inception Stratos architecture. Keep looking horizontally to your peers and keep questioning the necessity of those hierarchies around you.